you know, growing up spiritually, I was in churches where you just, where the services just sometimes went so long and nobody was saying anything. And, I mean, they were talking, but they weren't saying anything worth really listening to. And then after that, you know, I'm still, because I'm part of the ministerial staff and I'm still there, I'm in meetings and then I'm helping to clean up and all that stuff. And by the time I'm home, you're talking about having, by the time I get home, it's like 7 or 8 o'clock and I've been there since like 8 in the morning. Praise God. So, you know, and I get home and I'm tired. So I understand how you feel about that. But we don't always want to keep rushing either, praise God.
Amen.
We don't want to, you know, let's get this done, get this done, let's get to the word and get out of here. No, let's take our time. God takes his time with us, amen?
Amen.
So we're going to take our time. I'm not going to drag the service or drag the word on, but I just want y'all to try to be attentive, try to focus your mind on what's being taught today so that you can get blessed by the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That will keep you from being bored, because if you become hungry and you become interested in the things of God, then you will actually look forward. You'll be anxious for the word, for the time in which the word of God is coming. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's grab your Bibles. Won't you stand with me and we're going to grab our Bibles and wave them in the air. And just wave them in the devil's face and say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the
Word of God.
And God's Word is devil destruction power.
Devil destruction.
With my Bible,
I
can defeat the devil
every single day.
This is my Bible.
My Bible
is the Word of God. And
God's Word
is the revelation of His will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it
in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father God, I thank you that you hasten your word to perform it. Father God, I thank you that it shall not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish the very thing which you sent it out to do. I give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. We are continuing in our series of lessons on Miracles Are for Today, subtitled Confronting the Powerless Gospel with God's Word. The basis of the teaching is from my book, Miracles Are for Today, Confronting the Powerless Gospel with God's Word. Praise God. So God wants to work miracles today, and he wants to work them in our lives. And so we are learning the basis upon which we can be blessed and receive those miracles in our own personal life and in our own personal and particular ministries in which God has called us. Praise God. And so God wants to bless you, and he wants you to be a vessel for the miraculous. Now, we have to teach this for two reasons. One, because knowledge is power, praise God.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and God can't bless you in your ignorance. If you don't know that God still works miracles today, then you will not be willing or attempt to appropriate the miracles that God makes available to you. Praise God.
Amen.
Another reason why we must teach this is because there are people who actually have dedicated their lives. People who say, who are supposedly in the ministry. People who have much larger churches than this one. Much, much, much larger churches than this one. Who have committed their lives to telling you and teaching you that God no longer works these things today. Praise God. I have not too recently just heard about a conference called the Strange Fire Conference. And it's being run by a man, I'm not going to mention his name, but I do mention his name in my book on this subject, but it's being conducted by a man with several speakers to tell you and I that God no longer works these things in our lives today, and that we are not, and listen to this, you and I are not following the Bible when we believe God works miracles, praise God, in our day and age. And so you have men, well-known men, propagating this lie through their books, through television, through the internet, through CDs, through podcasts. They are propagating this lie, and people are believing this lie. As a matter of fact, when I checked online last night on the conference webpage, I saw not only was the registration already full, but the waiting list was full. And this is a large church, praise God.
Amen.
So that means there are thousands upon thousands of people ready to attend a conference that tells them that God no longer works miracles today. I don't know about you, but such a conference would discourage me. I would have some real difficulty with that kind of thinking. Yet there are thousands upon thousands of Christians who are going to spend money on airplane tickets, hotel rooms, rental cars, to go to this conference, and of course they got to eat out because many people can't cook in their hotel, so they're going to spend money on restaurants. People are going to spend thousands and thousands of dollars. Many of these people are going to use their vacation time to go to a conference that tells them that God no longer does the miraculous today.
Wow.
Now, you here at Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship, and those of you who listen to me by the internet, who download our MP3s, those of you who download our podcasts, those of you who will be listening to us via YouTube and radio, you get this absolutely free, that God does work miracles today. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to let you in on a secret, because you need to know this, because if you start hearing this and you start listening to these guys, then don't think that you won't be so easily deceived. In my book, in the introduction of my book, I talk about two young men that I knew very well. I'm not going to mention their names, but in the book, I changed their names to protect their innocence. I think I called one Joseph and the other one Kevin. So we'll just use those two names for right now. Joseph and Kevin were both just like me. They were laying hands on the sick, expecting them to recover. They were involved in tongues and prophecies and all that stuff. And they saw God work all kinds of miracles. One Tuesday Bible study, which I was teaching, and it was very crowded. We had a crowded Bible study that day, that night, that evening. And we were teaching on what is called the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which I'll be teaching you in a couple of weeks. And the power of God began to flow so greatly in that service, and people just began to fall out and worship God. And there was one young man, a couple of miracles took place, but Joseph, who I'm dealing with specifically today, had a problem with his head, where he had epilepsy. What happened was, when he was a kid, he fell down and he busted his head on the concrete. And ever since then, he had issues with epileptic attacks. And he would get headaches every so often. And so that night, Joseph asked me to pray for him. And we laid hands on him, and he began screaming, "I'm healed! I'm healed!" The epilepsy went away, the headaches went away, and this went on for a few weeks. I mean, he was so excited. One time I ran into him in the store, and he was with a friend of his, and he said, "Oh, this is Brother Troy. He's the one that God used to heal me." Oh! You know, he was so excited. Well, sadly, Joseph lived in the room, was a roommate with Kevin. Kevin began studying the teachings of this man that I just told you about, who's having this big conference to tell you that miracles are not for today. Kevin, who also had one time experienced the power of God, began to read his stuff, began to listen to all his teachings, and he began to no longer believe that God worked this stuff today. Sadly, even more, he began to share this with his roommate, Joseph, who had seen the power of God miraculously heal him, and Joseph also began to buy into this stuff. And so then they would come to the Bible study, and they wasn't coming to the Bible study to learn anything. They were coming to the Bible study to persecute me and to attack me because I was in the Bible study teaching you some of the things I'm teaching you. And so then, you know, of course, I would confront them and deal with them in scripture, and I dealt with them nicely, which back then my temperament wasn't all that great. So for me to have done them nicely, you know, I was being nice. But because they were still frustrated with me, they went to the senior pastor. And the senior pastor called me up and he says, Troy, Kevin and Joseph want to have a meeting with you. And he says, if you do decide to meet with them, be very careful. He said, don't let them gang up on you. See, but I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm gonna tell you right now, I know this book, praise God. I know what I'm talking about. So when people come to me and try to attack me on these things, you can't sway me. You can't trap me and you can't trick me because I know this book. So I told the pastor, I said, Pastor, don't you even worry about me. I said, I will go over there today. And see, when I went over there, they had no base. They had all kinds of intellectual arguments about why God can't do this today. They told me about all the bizarre and weird things happening in Pentecostal churches and charismatic churches, but they could not tell me one scripture that proved that God no longer works these things today. And I was simply able to point that fact out to them, and I was able to take them through scripture after scripture after scripture, showing them that God is still a miracle working God today. Praise God.
Amen.
And the reason why you're hearing this story is because one day somebody's going to confront you. As the church continues to grow, as people begin to come, the attacks will come. People will be talking bad about your pastor. They already are. I mean, they're already doing it now. So it ain't no big thing. I'm used to it. Praise God. But the attacks will intensify and increase, and people will try to discourage you from going to this church. What did I tell you? I told you last week, somebody put on our Facebook page, you know, one of the advertisements, they said, quit putting this hocus pocus, I'm not going to say what the word they said, quit putting this hocus pocus stuff on our Facebook pages. It's not hocus, but see, people are going to accuse us of magic when we're not talking about magic. Magic is of the devil, praise God.
Amen.
Miracles come from God. The problem is that a lot of these people, they believe that any supernatural thing that happens must come from Satan. They don't understand that God works miracles today, hallelujah. And because we believe that God still does the supernatural today, they will accuse us of witchcraft. No, we're not witch. We don't do witchcraft. We confront witchcraft, praise God, with the power of God in Jesus' name. We confront devils and demons with the power of God, with the miracle working power of God in Jesus' name. But people will falsely accuse us of things, and then they will give you all these persuasive arguments and tell you that you shouldn't be believing that stuff. You shouldn't be believing that word faith stuff, that charismatic stuff, that Pentecostal stuff. You need to get out of that church and come over to our dead, lifeless, no miracle happening church. That's what they're going to tell you, praise God.
Amen.
So you need to know that you know that you know what the Word of God says concerning these things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, one of the things that these people will tell you is that the canon of Scripture has been closed. Now, anybody know what I mean by that? Anybody ever heard that phrase before? The canon. See, that's what I'm saying. They use these intellectual arguments and people buy into it because these words, they sound so big. Man, he sounds so intelligent, it must be true. There's no basis in the Bible. Now, let me just explain to you what a canon is. When they talk about canon, C-A-N-O-N, they're talking about a whole book, praise God. Amen. See, the Bible was written, there are 66 different books in the Bible that makes up our whole book. As a matter of fact, the word Bible comes from the Latin word Biblos, which means books. In English, that means books. And we just changed it or transliterated it into the word that we now call the Bible. And what happened was, once, you know, there was thousands of books written, actually, that made up a lot of the scriptures. And what happened was, the church fathers back in about the 3rd or 4th century, they took all the books, they scrutinized it, prayed, took all the books that they felt were legitimate, and they found 66 of them, which today make up our Bible, praise God. There are some books that are not in our Bible that some of the Catholic churches others still use, such as the Book of Enoch, the Book of Adam and Eve, those kind of books. There are some books where Jesus got mad when he was a little kid and got mad with some other kid and he turned him into a bird.
No.
One book, that was supposed to have been in the Bible part of the scriptures back in the early days, where Jesus, as a baby, is actually talking to Mary, like a little baby, as these two, talking to Mary, saying, "I am the Son of God."
No.
No. Then Jesus, if that's true, then Jesus wasn't as human. But see, so the church fathers took what were legitimate books, what were actually God-inspired books, the books that God actually had written, and they put them all into this one book in which we call the Bible. Now, the theologians describe this as the canon of Scripture. And so what they tell you now is that once the canon of Scripture was complete, once all 66 books of the Bible were placed into this one book, God no longer had a need for miracles, because now you have the whole Bible. All you need is the Bible, and that is all you want. Now, that is crazy within itself. First of all, even when the canon of Scripture was complete, you still had a lot of illiterate people who couldn't read and didn't know the gospel, praise God. Amen. And they still needed signs and wonders. But what's even more is that the fact that even though we have a complete Bible, this book is still a supernatural book, and in order for us to claim its promises, in order for us to obey its commands, in order for us to get out of this book what we need to get out of it, we need God's supernatural power backing it, praise God.
Amen.
See, what happens is a lot of these guys, they want to fill your head with intellectual arguments, and the whole basis of their personal Christianity is all intellectual and not supernatural. Glory to God.
Amen.
Some of them don't even believe that there is a literal new birth that takes place. They believe that's just metaphorical. No. Let me tell you something, baby. When I was born again, I was really born again, praise God. Something supernatural changed on the inside of me.
Amen.
Something different happened because I did not want to do what I did before.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to the disco before, I would shake my little booty. Now, I went to the disco a couple of days after I got born again, and I could not, for the life of me, get up and dance with nobody. Now, before that, I mean, I used to have to beg a woman to dance with me. Please dance with me. They try to call for security. Get this stalker away from me, please. That night, I had women walking up to me. Troy, would you like to dance? And I had this, and someone inside of me kept telling me, don't you do it. And I had to say no. I had no Bible teaching at the time. I had just gotten saved. But something on the inside of me had changed so much that I just could not do what I did, praise God.
Amen.
My household goods came, and although I kind of knew pornography was wrong, you know, I didn't exercise the restraint that I did when all my household goods came, and all those porno magazines that I had came with my household goods. I didn't even look at them. Don't think I wasn't tempted now. I was tempted to look at them. My mind kept saying, just take one more look. But I suffered just like y'all did. But there was a supernatural restraint that happened to me. And I took those magazines without even looking at them, and I threw them all in the garbage. Now, in hindsight, I wish I'd burnt them. Praise God, because somebody could have dumped them, got them, and I could be responsible for their sin. But the thing is that what I'm trying to tell you is that what I used to do, I didn't want to do anymore. Something supernatural happened to me, and I can tell you that that is proof enough to me right there, besides all the other things that God began to do after that, that let me know that God is still a miracle working God today. You couldn't, even without my knowledge of the Bible that I have now, and I don't have all knowledge, praise God. I'm still learning all the time. I'm still getting revelation from this book. I'm still learning from other men of God. But I have much more knowledge after 30 years than I had before that, praise God.
Amen.
And even with the knowledge, even though I didn't have that as much knowledge as I have now, you could not have convinced me back then that God no longer works miracles today. You could, every intellectual argument you could have used, it would have gone through my mind, and I would have said, you know what? That sounds good, but I've seen God do too many things. I've seen him work too much in my behalf for me to deny this. So you got to, when you hear somebody give you all these intellectual arguments telling you that God no longer does this or no longer does that, you better begin to look back on your experiences. And don't be like Joseph. Joseph, my friend, got supernaturally healed by God and lost his healing because he accepted the intellectual argument of his roommate. Even though I sat there and I refuted every single argument. And then I looked at Joseph and I said, Joseph, do you still believe? I don't know. I was so disappointed. I was so hurt. I looked at Kevin and I said, you see what you did to him? I said, you see what you did to him? This is your fault. This kind of stuff makes me angry. Because it allows Satan to come in and steal the thing that God is trying to give his people. Praise God.
Amen.
Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. I got to give you some scripture. Or else we're not actually teaching the word. Then I'm up here just talking. But I want you to see from the scriptures themselves that the word of God itself yields supernatural power. So for them to sit up there and tell you that, well, once the canon of scripture was closed, God had no need to work miracles. That is ridiculous, because the power of God works through the word of God. Let's put this up on the board. Let's see, this is lesson number 6 of this whole teaching. There we go. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It says, who being, and this is talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. First, let me help you understand something. When it talks about Jesus being the brightness of God's glory, the brightness of God's glory, the word glory refers to God's character. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus is the representation of God's character. And it goes on to say the express image of his person. Jesus is the express image of his person. Another translation says, Jesus is exactly what God looks like. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me tell you, everything, if you ever wonder about what is God like, just simply read the Acts of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus had compassion on people. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus did nothing but show love. Now, some people will sit there and say, well, you know, Jesus was nice, but God seems to be a really difficult person to get along with. No, Jesus and the Father are exactly alike, praise God.
Amen.
One of these days, I'm going to teach you some of the things about the Old Testament that, you know, that are confusing some people, but I don't have time to do that today. I just want you to understand today that Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, all three are exactly alike. If the Father had came on the earth just like Jesus did, if Jesus stayed in heaven and the Father came on the earth and became a man, do you know that the Father would have done anything different than Jesus? Praise God.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, if he had become a man instead of the Father and Jesus, he would have done exactly what Jesus did. Because the three are the same, they are just alike. How many of y'all, when y'all read about Jesus or hear about Jesus, you hear nothing but good things? Even atheists admire Jesus. Now, they don't believe that he's God like we do, but they admire him. And matter of fact, some of the atheists will tell you, man, if Christians were more like Jesus, then I'd probably be a Christian. But many of the same atheists hate God because they don't understand that Jesus and God are the same. They act the same. They look the same. They talk the same. Praise God.
Amen.
And that's what that means there. But the part I really want to get to is in upholding all things by the word of his power. See, that word power, I'm just going to give you just a little bit of Greek here. That word power is the Greek word called dunamis. And it means specifically miraculous power, usually by implication of a miracle itself. Praise God. That's the Greek definition of it. It is miraculous power. So this book, basically, to put it in plain English, this book has supernatural miraculous power in it. Glory to God.
Amen.
For example, let's look at a plain scripture that talks about sin. I just told you my testimony about how after I got born again, some things I just couldn't do anymore. Well, the Bible says that whom the Son has set free is free indeed, praise God.
Amen.
The Bible says that ye have been made free from sin. See, sin had me in bondage before I got saved. But now the supernatural word of God, which said that sin, I have been made free from sin, the power of that word has begun to work in my life, and I no longer need to do what I used to do before, praise God. Before, I may not have liked doing what I did, but I had a difficult time stop doing it. For example, I can tell you, I didn't like watching pornography. Why did I watch it? I was in bondage to it, and I hated myself for it. Praise God.
Amen.
I hated myself for it. I would be disgusted with myself afterwards. But I still kept doing it. But the supernatural power of God set me free. I don't even want to think about pornography anymore. Praise God. Amen. Matter of fact, I can't even watch some commercials on TV anymore. Now when we see some commercials, I just flip the channel. It could be partly because I'm getting old now too, but I don't know. But the thing is that some of this stuff I don't even care about anymore. But it's the supernatural power of God. Another example. The scripture says that by his stripes ye were healed. I take that scripture when I'm sick and I get supernaturally healed in my body. Praise God.
Amen.
I've gone through sickness, but I can tell you that my medical insurance company must love me because I heart have made a claim. I think my wife makes more claims with the dental program and stuff than anything else. But we don't go. We hardly. We got the insurance. And we're paying a lot of money for it. Yeah. But we hardly make any claims. The reason why is because this book has supernatural power. So for some theologian to have a whole conference sitting around telling me that because I have this book, I no longer need miracles, it's got to be something very ridiculous. Because it's the word of his supernatural, miraculous power that works in my life. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give you a few more scriptures. I don't want to keep it too much longer. I know it's getting close to 1:30. But just bear with me just a few more minutes. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We're already in Hebrews. Just turn to chapter 4. Stay in that book. I want you to understand, the Bible is not just a book that makes me feel comfortable with nice inspirational words like I would gain from some kind of poem or something. Praise God. I know a lot of people, for example, even sinners and saints alike love what's the song that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know, a lot of people love that song because it brings such peace and comfort. Well, the Bible is not just a book for me to just get nice sayings from. You know, like I would with Shakespeare or with some of the other great literary works of the past. That's not the Bible. A lot of sinners, a lot of atheists have the Bible sitting on their shelves because it's still a fine piece of literature. But this book is not simply a piece of literature on the same plane as Shakespeare and all the other great works of the past. This book, unlike the other books, has supernatural power and is backed up by the God who had the book written in the first place. Praise God.
Amen.
These are the words of God.
Amen.
This book has God's word in it. And
Amen.
God's word has supernatural power in it. And for Christians to sit there and tell me that I no longer need miracles because I have this book, tell me that all I need is to have an intellectual exercise of reading God's word, and that should be enough. No, if I'm going to read this book, if I'm going to live this book, then I need supernatural power in order to do it. Glory to God.
Amen.
This book is no longer believable if I can't have the miracles along with the book. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick." That word quick, and if you're reading the King James Version, it means alive. Say, God's word is alive.
God's word is alive.
Oh, sound more enthusiastic than that. Say, God's word is alive.
God's word is alive.
Hallelujah. It's got to be some supernatural power in it. It's got to be miraculous power in it if the word is alive, praise God.
Amen.
So it says that the word of God is alive and powerful. Say powerful.
Powerful.
Glory to God. I like the Bible in basic English. It says, "For the word of God is living and full of power and sharper than any two-edged sword." God's word is full of power. Praise God.
Amen.
It has miracle-working, creative power. Again, let me throw just a little bit of Greek at you. It says the word powerful in this passage comes from the Greek word energis. And one scholar says that the word denotes active, powerful in action. It describes the word of God as active, full of power. Listen to this. Full of power to achieve results. Full of power to achieve results.
Amen.
That means that the word of God will work on your behalf. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You got turmoil in your mind. then you begin to look at the Bible where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I have tried that scripture.
Amen.
I have seen it work. And I tell you, God has given me his supernatural peace. When I was close to having a nervous breakdown at one time, I stood on the word of God, and the supernatural peace of God came upon me, and the devil had to leave. Praise God.
Amen.
Glory to God. You can stand on God's word. It is full of power to achieve results. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's just a couple more scriptures I want you to look at. We'll continue with this next week. But in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. We're almost done. Y'all just be patient. Isaiah 55, verse 11. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. God's word will not return unto him empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word does not return unto him empty, void. It achieves results. Praise God.
Amen.
In other words, God says it will prosper. It will succeed wherever I send it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It will achieve the necessary result in which it speaks about. Praise God.
Amen.
If it speaks on peace, it will achieve that result in your life. If it speaks on healing of your body, it will achieve that result in your life. We looked at another scripture earlier as we were giving our doing our tithes and offerings. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, which says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosoms. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. We looked at that scripture and we saw that if you do what God says by giving of your finances, then that word is full of power to achieve financial results in your life. Praise God.
Amen.
You can prosper financially by obeying the word of God. Well, people tell you that that's a message of greed. No, it's not a message of greed. The more you prosper, the more you can be a blessing financially to the work of God. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want to move into another building? I know I do. How many of y'all want to get rid of these chairs and get some better, some nice, more comfortable chairs? How many of y'all tired of these wood and metal chairs?
Yeah.
I'm tired of them.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. So I'm believing God for to bless me more financially so I can achieve better results for the work of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I don't do that in a vacuum. I take scripture and I look at the promises of God and I bring them before my Father. And I say, Father, this is what you said in your word. I believe you. Bring it to pass in my own life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And my daddy says, okay, son, here. And he does it for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I'm telling you, God's word, the canon of scripture, as the theologians call it, has power. Supernatural, miraculous power to achieve results. So the closing of the canon did not stop the power of God. The closing of the canon assured that we would continue to have God's power working in our lives. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Y'all making me want to preach this some more, but I know I gotta stop somewhere. I gotta stop somewhere. So I'll stop here. Well, let me show you just one more scripture. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to fight it. I'm going to fight it. We'll deal with this some more next week. But understand that the canon of scripture is what's going to bring and achieve results in your life. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you.
All the confessions we've been making concerning the growth of the church and concerning all the things that we are believing God for, I want you to be assured that God's word works. Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Don't listen to the statistics. Don't listen to what they say about the decline in Rhode Island of religion and churches and things of that nature. That has nothing to do with the word of God. The word of God is full of power to achieve results. I tell you, as a matter of fact, the more they tell me this stuff, the more that I can say, hey, then that means that when I see the manifestation of what God is planning on doing, then I know that truly God did it, and it wasn't just my great ingenuity and my wonderful marketing skills. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know that it was my God that brought it to pass. You can do the same thing in your life. Start believing God for miracles. Start believing Him for the miraculous. Start believing that God will use little old you to touch somebody else's life. Start laying hands on the sick and asking God to bring recovery for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know that unsaved, no good husband of yours, or that unsaved, no good wife of yours, when they get sick, tell them, let me just lay hands on you. I'm going to go get you some aspirin, but let me just lay hands on you. And you pray for them, and then while they're going to go get the aspirin, watch God heal them. And watch they tell you, oh, I don't need that junk. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you, I've seen it. I've seen God do it. And I know if He did it for me, and I'm no different, no better than you are, He'll do it for you. Let's pray.